Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about why 12,000 Billings voters won't get their ballots tomorrow, bison, and bear spray. It's Thursday, August 22nd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana Senator John Tester sent an invitation Tuesday to President Donald Trump to meet wheat producers in Big Sandy. It comes in response to concerns over the president's recent comments mocking the role of wheat in trade deals with Japan. Rachel Kramer reports.
In the letter, Tester says he's happy to host Trump on his family farm in Big Sandy to, quote, meet with fellow wheat producers and learn directly from them the role trade plays to our economy and their pocketbook, unquote. The invitation comes a week after Trump dismissed wheat at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania. He said in reference to Japan,
they send thousands and thousands, millions of cars. We send them wheat. Wheat. That's not a good deal. And they don't even want our wheat. They do it because they want us to at least feel that we're okay. You know, they do it to make us feel good.
In his letter to Trump, Tester says, quote, Japan plays a particularly important role as the largest importer of Montana's wheat. This is not a market we can replace, and our relationship should be celebrated, not mocked, unquote. Montana is the third largest wheat-producing state in the U.S. About three-fourths of the wheat goes to Asian Pacific countries, including Japan, and several Japanese companies own grain elevators in Montana. Trump had not yet responded to Tester's letter by the deadline for this story. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Tomorrow, ballots will be mailed out for the Billings municipal primary election. But nearly 12,000 voters in the city will not be getting ballots, and this is not a glitch in the election. Kay Erickson explains.
The Billings Municipal Primary is a nonpartisan election where the top two candidates from each ward advance on to the general election. In Ward 3, which covers the central part of the city, there are only two candidates running for one council seat. Yellowstone County Election Administrator Brett Rutherford.
Montana law, if you're in a nonpartisan primary, you don't need to run it if it serves no purpose.
Rutherford says by not printing and mailing ballots to Ward 3, the city will save about $11,000. He adds that what is odd about the primary is that there are no other open races, just city council.
We generally don't see primaries in city council races when that's all that's on the ballot. You know, usually if we have the mayor up or maybe a judge, that'll trigger a primary. And even if the council seat falls off, the people in the ward would still get a ballot. But there's no other offices this go around. So that is the oddity.
Rutherford reminds voters that they can still register to vote in the Billings City primary, but it has to be in person at the election office in the courthouse. And he adds that voters who will be dropping off ballots for other people, there's a new state law passed last November. It requires anyone dropping off someone else's ballot to fill out a ballot collection registry form at the courthouse, and drop-offs are limited to six. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
Would-be builders of a massive coal export terminal along the Columbia River in Longview, Washington, suffered a severe setback in court. Those backers include coal interests and some elected officials in Montana. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports the Washington State Court of Appeals ruled Tuesday that the Department of Natural Resources had a valid reason when it refused to lease state-owned aquatic lands to Millennium Bulk Terminals. The DNR had noted the bankruptcy of Arch Coal, one of Millennium's owners, and the developer's initial failure to disclose that it wanted to build the largest coal terminal on the West Coast. The terminal would receive as many as 16 coal trains a day from Wyoming for shipment to Asian markets. Coal backers in Montana said the port also had the potential to open export markets to coal from this state. The court said that Millennium, quote, intentionally misrepresented the scope of its plans for the property in 2011, unquote. Supporters of the project say construction of the terminal would be accompanied by needed environmental cleanup, but environmental groups opposed Millennium. A record number of people entered a drawing to harvest a bison from a private herd in northeastern Montana this year. Olivia Reingold reports.
More than 2,400 people vied for 16 spots in the American Prairie Reserve's annual lottery to hunt a bison on the nonprofit's land. 15 of the winners are Montanans. Each participant will have the opportunity to cull one bison out of the reserve's 833-member herd. The harvest is one of the ways that the reserve manages its bison population, along with contraception and donating bison to tribal conservation programs. This is the third year in a row the reserve has offered the public a chance to cull a bison, which has to be under 2 years old. While entering the drawing is free, harvesting costs $300. The reserve's bison management plan states that although the reserve's bison are private property, it seeks to manage its population as wildlife, meaning as a public resource for the common good. The bison are currently classified as livestock, not wildlife, by state regulations. Drawing winners will harvest bison throughout the fall and winter. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Another dead elk has been found in the southwest part of Musselshell County. This is the fourth bull elk found in the county since the weekend. All have been shot and left to rot intact in a field with antlers still attached. This elk is 25 miles away from where the others were found. Musselshell County Sheriff Sean Lesnick says the landowner believes the bull was killed either late Monday night or early Tuesday morning. A Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks warden has gone to the site to process the scene for evidence. Lesnick says if anyone in the county observes someone spotlighting or hears or sees a vehicle traveling the back roads at an unusually late time, to call the sheriff's office. And people can call Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Tip Mont Hotline as well. The sheriff says we must protect our natural resources. A Montana bear safety organization has just released a new guide explaining how to properly deploy and use bear spray. The group says the new guide is the result of their, quote, deep concern, end quote, that the general public is getting a lot of misinformation about bear spray. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Missoula-based Be Bear Aware campaign volunteers have for two decades informally interviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of people who carry bear spray. Director Chuck Bartlebaum and his colleagues, including educators and bear biologists, have regularly quizzed people at trailheads, campgrounds, and outdoor trade shows about their bear spray knowledge.
We have almost a consistent 20-plus year pattern of people not being able to hold the can firmly and not be able to direct a spray downward and to actually spray it over top of the bear.
Bartlebaum says some people fumble with a can of bear spray while simply trying to remove its safety clip.
Most people think their thumb goes on top of the safety clip. It feels that way, it looks that way, but no, it doesn't. It goes in front of the curled up lip and you pull back.
In one well-publicized case from several years ago, a father and daughter jumped off a cliff in Glacier National Park to escape a bear attack after the daughter could not release the bear spray container safety clip. Bartlebaugh says some people purchase pepper or military-type defensive sprays designed to hold a human attacker at bay, believing it will have the same effect on a charging bear. He advises against betting your life on it.
Something that sprays for only 4 seconds, sprays too short for a bear. That's pepper spray type spray duration for a mugger in a parking lot, not a charging or harassing bears, which may be more than one.
To counter what Bartlebaugh says is widespread bear spray related misinformation, the Be Bear Aware campaign has released a new 8-page guide called How to Deploy Your Bear Spray Against a Highly Agitated Charging Bear. It uses 4 different scenarios to detail how bear spray should be used to defend against a charging bear. Scenario 1, a bear charges from approximately 60 feet out.
Disperse your spray to a point 30 feet out in front of you, and the bear will meet the bear spray cloud at 30 feet, enter it, and feel the effects.
The campaign says be sure to spray in a downward direction so the chemical doesn't overshoot the animal. Also, don't try to aim for the bear's face. Bartlebaugh says that only wastes precious time. Most bear charges take place within 30 feet. In those cases,
you direct the bear spray at the front of the bear and keep spraying at the front of the bear as it's charging until it diverts its charge. No short bursts.
The campaign's third and fourth bear spray situations are worst-case scenarios. An agitated bear suddenly attacks from less than 15 feet out. Under those dire circumstances, the bear spray should obviously be deployed as soon as possible. Hose down the entire area you and the bear are in. It won't feel good, but just may save your life. If the bear is attacking a hiking partner, spray both until the attack stops.
And then that bear will let go of your friend, and it may charge you. And that has happened in almost every case we've interviewed someone spraying. And so you need to spray directly into that path. And in every case, the bear did divert its charge and run off.
Bartlebaugh says that in trained and skilled hands, a high-powered firearm is an effective form of self-defense against bear attacks.
Guns do work, and they work in a lot of cases, but there's added danger involved when you use a firearm, especially around crowds.
Meaning a high-powered weapon in the hands of an inexperienced, highly stressed person runs the risk of shooting someone else in the line of fire who's behind that attacking predator. Bartlebaugh says while many bear spray manufacturers have offered contributions to the Be Bear Aware campaign, the organization has no vested interest in any of them. But he singles out one company, Counter Assault, developed over 3 decades ago at the University of Montana, for producing a bear spray canister that discharges for a full 8 seconds at approximately 40 feet. He says too many other companies are now pursuing palm-sized cans of bear spray.
Palm-sized cans are totally inadequate for charging bears that may be as many as 4 bears at a time and have been. It just doesn't spray far enough, long enough, and have enough ingredients to stop a full-blown, highly agitated, charging grizzly bear.
Bartlebaugh says it's going to take an all-hands-on-deck effort from land management agencies, hunting and angling groups, and others to educate the public about the proper use of bear spray.
There is no one way a bear charges. There is no one way you deploy your bear spray. You need to be able to have a sense of how to use it in the situation you are in on that day.
A link to the Be Bear Aware campaign's brand new 8-page bear spray guide can be found on our website at mtpr.org. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.